Amen. Thank you, Miss Pat. Always a great message and song. We press on. We press on. We press on. We take hold of what He's taken hold of us for. To the prize, the Scripture says. The high calling of Christ. Amen. Well, John, the Gospel of John. I tell you, we are in for a treat as we journey through this Gospel, this record, this eyewitness that we have of John who walked with the Lord. We're dealing with a close encounter, a man for whom the Bible is described as the one for whom Jesus loved. Now, you're probably asking the question when we come across some of these passages and read it and say, well, didn't he love everyone? Didn't he love all his disciples? Of course he did. But just like you and I, we love some people more than we love other people. And Jesus was a man as much as he was God. And that he had a fondness for the apostle John, and he was the beloved apostle, and he helps us even in his first epistle that he wrote, not this gospel, but the first epistle that he wrote. He tells us that he's talking about this Jesus for whom he touched, in whom he handled, for whom he heard, for whom he had seen with his own eyes, touched with his own hands, who he leaned in upon and put his head upon his breast. Remember when they were having that supper that night, he was the one closest to Jesus, and the disciples described him the one for whom he loved. Jesus had the apostles, the disciples that walked with him, and of those, there were three that were close to him, and John was the closest, the one that was more intimate and personal with him, and he gives us this record of what he observed, what he seen, what he felt. And he starts this letter off with probably one of the most significant words and most significant sentences, one of the most significant messages that we as the people of God need to know. There's a lot that we want to know. There's a lot that we should know. There's a lot that is extremely extraordinary about Jesus that is written in His Word. But John gives us a statement in verse number 14. It's something that we cannot miss and we cannot set aside. We cannot just put it away because it is the centrality of the fact that Jesus came to this world. And when I say Jesus came to this world, what He's going to establish to us when He pens this, the one for whom He knew so well and intimately. He didn't know this, though, when He was with Him. He learned this after the fact. That's something that we got to keep in mind. John, a lot that he says in these first few verses of chapter number 1, he's going to later explain throughout the rest of the message that he writes to us. But he did not know this. We got to keep in mind, he has given us an account of what he understands now. But when he was touching him, when he was listening to him, when he was following him, when he was walking with him, he did not know the significance of what he's writing to us now, but he wants us to know it. He wants us to understand that this man who he walked with, whom he heard, whom he fellowshiped with, whom he learned from, whom he trusted his life to, he is no mere man. He is God Himself. Amen. And that's something that he did not know at the time that he followed him. Their understanding expanded and grew. Matter of fact, go to chapter number 20. Go to chapter number 20. Watch what he does here. Look in verse number 30. John 20, 30. John's going to tell us the aim of why he wrote this gospel. The aim. What's the aim of this gospel message? Why did he pen this? Why did he set out to tell us what Jesus did and who Jesus is and what he was about. In verse 30 of chapter 20, he says this, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." That John, at the close of his letter, says these words, Brother Shannon, "This is why I've shared all these things with you, that you may believe that this Jesus is God, that you may, without any question, without any shame, without any regret, without any hesitation, that when you submit and bow to Jesus Christ, you know beyond any shadow of a doubt you are bowing to God himself. Jesus is God in the flesh. And when you believe in his name, you're believing in the Son of God who's always existed, who had life in himself, who made all things that was made. If it was made, it was made through him. And I want you to know that this is him. And when you trust him, you are trusting God himself. And you don't have to hesitate. You don't have to back up. When you come and gather and we gather to worship and praise him, you are worshiping the Word of God. You're worshiping God himself, who was with God and who was God, who made all things and took upon flesh and came and dwelt among us. You're dealing with God here. Not just a man, but God. Amen. Not an angel, but God. Yes. Not a person, a created being. You're dealing with who? You're dealing with God. See, we live in a world who wants to be anti-Christ, who are anti-Christ. We live in a society that people will tell you, well, you have God, and then God made Jesus, and Jesus is a good example. He's a moral man. He's a great teacher, and you could learn great things from him, but he's not God. And John says, no, I want to let you know. I didn't know it in the beginning, but I know it now. He's God. He's the maker of all things. And he come and dwelt among us. And he came to live among us because he had a purpose in what he did. And that's where we go back to chapter number 1. But on your way back to chapter 1, just look in chapter number 14. Chapter 14. Just to give us a little glimpse here of what Jesus says in regards to these disciples and why John has the authority to say, I've written these things so that you can believe. And in believing, you can have life. 14:25 says this. 14:25, Jesus told his disciples them, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper," who is the Helper? "The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and he will bring to your remembrance the things that I said to you. Peace I leave to you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you do I give to you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid." What we have in this record is the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit causing John to remember the things that Jesus spoke and said, as well as what? Teaching him all things that John did not know while he actually walked with Jesus. But now he has given us a revelation of him, an inspired revelation of him. So when John says that Jesus is the Word of God that became flesh, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word is the one who created all things, he's given us a divine inspired word that the Holy Spirit revealed to him who this Jesus really was. And John starts off the letter from the beginning, just to say that when you read about him in this record, you're reading about God. You're reading about him. So you need to be wowed in what he does. You're not just looking at a man who's teaching us how to live. You're looking at the one who gives life And it's in Him we find life. He is the light of our lives. He's the one who allows us to see and perceive and change our perspective about life. And He wants us to know that. Look in chapter 16, I believe it is. Chapter 16, look in verse number 13. 16:13 says, "However, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you," that is the disciples, the foundation of the disciples, "into all truth. For He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said that He will take of Mine, and He will" what? "Declare it to you." Now John is turning around and declaring it to us, that we can know right off the bat who this Jesus really is. So go back, if you would, and look at chapter number 1. Let's just see. We're going to talk about the Creator. Notice the phrasing, how He phrases these things. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning..." In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word what? Was God. He's talking about a Creator before there was any time, before that time ever existed, before there was the first day. The Word has always existed. Why? Because not only is the Word God, but He's also with God. Now, when you get into the ideas of the Trinity, the three persons of the Godhead, that is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that has racked our brains and men's brains all the way from the time men have known anything about God. It's always been a complex thing how to explain that He was God, but He was with God, which also tells us that there is a Trinity. That if He was God, but He was with God, that explains that there is a three persons of the Godhead, which the Holy Spirit is God, that comes and dwells within us, that the Father and the Son can live within us by means of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit's never going to glorify Himself. The Holy Spirit is always going to elevate and glorify Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the Word of God. And John chose to use a word by divine inspiration as the Spirit declared unto him. He uses the word logos, the word which is means a message. It means the message of the Godhead. Jesus is the message. He is the message of God to humanity. He is the message of God to this world. Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the" what? "The truth." Jesus also said in John 18 that "I've come to this world to bear witness to the truth." Not only is He the truth, but He bears witness to the truth. Everything that He did, not only is He true, but every witness that He unveiled was a witness to the truth. It was a message. And when you put your confidence, and I put my trust in Jesus, I am putting my faith in the message or the Word of God that God has for man. The very heartbeat of God to man is in the truth of the Word of God. And Jesus Himself is that Word. He's always been. He's always existed. How many of you ever had a kid ask you a question? Well, where'd God come from? Put you in a tailspin, right? You say, well, God's always been. Yeah, but who made God? Nobody what? Made God. God Himself is life. He is the source of life. He is the Creator. Notice what our passage says. It says, "In the beginning was," which John, that's what John is doing in this message. John is taking us back to the beginning of establishing who God is, and that this same God, verse number 14 says, "And this Word became flesh, and He dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So this Word who's always been is this same Word who took upon flesh. He says, in the beginning was the Word, the Creator, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2, He was in the beginning with God. Verse 3 says, and all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Notice, all past tense, Brother Shannon, was, because what is John doing? He's establishing something that is in the past, that has an effect on the present, and that will change everything about the future as well. He's taking us back to a Creator, Sandy, of when all was created, everything that was created by or through the Word of God, through the Son of God, everything. Jehovah Witnesses would tell us that Jesus was an angel. Satan, if I'm not mistaken, was another angel. They were brothers. And he was a created being. He was created. But our passage says the Word who is the Creator made all things, and not just all things, but all things that were made, He made it. He leaves all doubt out for us as we look at the simplicity of this text, is that if it was made, if anything was made by the Son of God. And if it was made, which a creature had to be made, are you with me? If a creature is a part of the creation, it had to be made. But not only does John say all that was made, nothing without Him was made that was made. He's just reiterating He was never made.
Come on.
He's not a creature. He's not part of the creation. He is what? The Creator. He is the Creator. And it's the Creator who came to this earth and took upon flesh and dwelt among us.
Amen.
He wants us to see this. So when we see everything that He does, we're not just looking at a man, we're looking at the Creator who came to this earth for purpose, with a reason. Why? You see, we have the Creator was, we have the creation. Everything in creation was made. It was made in the past by the Creator. The problem is that our creation collapsed. This creation collapsed. And that is the reason why the Creator came to His creation to redeem that which was collapsed. And that's what John is helping us see. He goes on to say this, verse number 3. All things that were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Verse 4. In Him was, notice past tense, in Him was life. And the life was the light of men. In Him was life. He is, as Creator, He is the source of life. He's the one who gives life. He's the one who creates life. And it was His life that was the light of men. Notice, past tense, the light of men. When Adam and Eve of humanity, of human existence, Jesus, when He created them, He breathed what into them?
Life.
He breathed life in them. That life that He breathed in them was more than just a breath. It was more than just existence. He then, as a full-grown creature, because Adam and Eve both, when God created them, they were mature, they were grown, they had intellect. Why? Because they could perceive the things of God. They perceived who God was. They perceived what their assignment was. They could perceive that because why? His life is light. Light is what we see. You can't see without what? You can't see without light. But the life that He breathed into Adam and Eve, the life that He breathes into a new creation, is light so that we can perceive Him, that our perspective of who He is and what we are changes when He breathes life into us, into His created beings. But what happened to Adam and Eve in the garden? They fell. Things went dark. Creation was subjected to futility. The created order that He made, the creation itself, had fallen. It was now collapsed. It was corrupt. It is now in darkness. And that's where we see as we move into this next verse. Notice what He says in verse number 5. And the light, present day, light shines into the darkness, and the darkness did not what? Comprehended. Now that's a complex word. It actually means the darkness could not seize it, could not grasp it. Twofold. One, the darkness could not quench and destroy and tear down that light that He unveils, but it also means that the darkness could not grasp, or the darkness could not seize, understand, or perceive this, which He's going to unfold that as we walk through it. For an example, the Scripture said He came to this world. The world didn't know Him. Why? The world is in what? Darkness. It takes life for Him to see light. And until you have His light, you can't see His life. This is going to take a supernatural work of God to take place. Well, we see in this unfold of what He's helping us with. Matter of fact, let's look at a couple passages of Scripture. Go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Look in verse number 46, I believe it is. There's a few passages. Remember, John's going to help us with a lot of these things that he's writing about. In these first few things, he's going to continue to unveil it to us. This is just an introduction that he wants us to see up front. That you don't have to you don't have to question whether or not if you trust Jesus or you trust in God. Because as he's going to tell them in several other places, what is eternal life? Eternal life is knowing the Father and the one whom He sent. Eternal life is knowing Him. That's what God gives us in life. But John chapter 12 and verse number 46, did I say 46? Let's see. I'm going to read verse number 44. Then Jesus cried out and said, He who believes in Me believes not in Me, but in Him who what? Why? Because everything Jesus does is with the Father. They're together. One, verse 45 says, And he who sees Me sees Him who sent Me. You got to have light to see, right? Amen. I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in Me should not abide in what? Darkness. And if anyone hears My words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come in the world to judge, but to what? Save the world. He who rejects Me and does not receive My words has that which judges him. That word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Go back and look at verse number 35 of the same chapter, 12:35. And Jesus said to them, A little while longer, the light is with you. While you have the light, for fear darkness overtake you, he who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become what? Sons of light. Light allows us to see. Look over in John chapter number 5. Go to John chapter number 5. Look, if you would, look in verse number 24. Verse 24 says, Most surely I say to you, he who hears My word and believes in Me, who sent Me, has what? John 5, 24, he has what? He who believes in Me and the one who sent Me has what? Everlasting life, and shall not come in the judgment. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will what? Live. They will live. Verse 26, For as the Father has life in Himself, So he has granted the Son to have life in himself. In the Word was life. He is the source of life. And that life turns into light in those who have been born again of him. Go to 1 John chapter 5. Go to 1 John. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. Let's just look at a couple of these verses. 1 John 5. Toward the book of Revelation, you get 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and then you at Revelation, 1st John 5. Look, if you would, in verse 11 says, "And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is where? In His Son. He who has the Son has life. And he who does not have the Son does not have what?
Life.
So where is this life found? In who? It is in the Son. And who is the Son? Jesus. Who is Jesus? The Word of God. Go back to the Gospel of John. Look in chapter number 8. John 8. Look in verse number 12. "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have what? The light of life. In him was life, and that life was the light of men." You see, when we have Jesus, Tommy, what we have is that we have eternal life. That eternal life is explained to us as light. That light allows us to see Jesus, to see the Father, to see His way. And that light, which is life to us, is what God does when He speaks His Word over us in the gospel. That power that comes that does something inside of us, so that that which was in darkness, that which was blind and couldn't see, what God does is open up, Brother Shannon. Yeah. Just the speaking of something, you know, when you open something up, to open something means light's entering in. So when God opens our heart, the light enters in, and that light that enters in is life. Yeah. And that life that is light allows us to see Him.
Yeah.
And who He is, to trust Him. And come alive from being dead or in darkness or in blindness to that light. You see, we're dealing with a Creator. We're dealing with His creation. We're dealing with a Creator that is the source of life. And we're dealing with darkness because of a collapse of that creation. But we see creation's Redeemer in the Word of God who became flesh to rescue us from that fall, from that corruption that we have found in and of ourselves. So go back to John chapter 1 again, and let's see how he pulls this together. Who's the Word? He is Jesus. Who became Jesus when he took upon flesh in the womb of Mary. But he's always been, right? Who is He? He's our Creator. Who is He? The Son of God. Who is He? The Word or the message of God. Who is He? Our Redeemer. Who is He? The Word, the heartbeat of our life. The Scripture says that this darkness could not seize it or did not seize it, did not grab it. So God has to do something that man can't do. Verse 6 and 7 is dealing with what we refer to as John the Baptist. You know, the Scriptures refer to him as the witness of John. John the witness. He was a witness of God. And it's explaining that John came before Jesus was manifested on the scene. And that's why we see in past tense. Verse 6. there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness not to the light, but bear witness of what? Of the light, that all through him might believe. That is, through John. He was not that light that is the Word that gives life, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light that I'm referring to, John says, which is the Word that became flesh, which gives light to every man. Now, that's not talking about every man on the planet. That's talking about every man that has life, every man that has light. He's the one who gives light to them. And this is the work of God. This is Him coming into the world. Verse 10, He was in the world and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. As we've already said, the world didn't know Him. Why? Because the world was dark. It was fallen. Verse 11 says, He came to His own. And who's He referring to as His own? To His own brethren. Jesus was born a Jew, of the tribe of Judah. He came to Israel, for whom God selected as a group of people for whom He would bring His Redeemer through. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. You see the word receive and the word comprehend in verse number 5 have the same base word. It means to take hold of something. His own didn't come near Him to take hold of who He was. They didn't come near Him to grab a hold of Him. Why did they not come near Him to grab a hold of Him? They couldn't see who He was. That's why they what? Mocked Him. That's why they laughed at Him. That's why they abused Him. That's why they did what they did to Him, His very own. That's why they kept trying to trip Him up. They couldn't see who He was. Acts and the New Testament, if they would have known who He was, they would have never done what they did to Him. But they couldn't see who He was. Why could they not see who He was? They didn't have what? Light. And if they didn't have light, they didn't have life. They were dead. Their deadness was manifested in their darkness, that they could not see who Jesus was. They didn't see Him as Creator. They didn't see Him as the message of God. They didn't see Him as the Word of God. They didn't see Him as the life source of creation. They didn't see Him as the life giver. They saw Him as a man who had an influence on people. They saw Him as a man who got people in uproar. They saw Him completely contrary to who He really was. Isaiah says that they despised Him. They looked at Him and thought He was being rejected by God. They looked at Him and said, God can't be on this man right here. Look how people are treating Him. Look what people are doing to Him. He's a liar. He's false. He's not the Son of God. He can't be the Son of God. Why? They had no light. And the reason they had no light, they had no life. Because the only ones who have life and those who have light are those who have been born of God. You know, John 8, Jesus said, the reason you can't hear My words is because you're of your father who? Those that are of My Father hear My words, and they do what? Follow Me. Why? Because they have the light of life. They have been born from above. Something supernatural in the grace of God's done something inside of them. Their hearts have been opened, and when their hearts were open to Me, they trusted and believed in Me. They wasn't born of themselves, and that's what he goes on to say. John is saying this is not something man can do in and of himself. This is something that only the Creator can do in somebody's life. And that's why he says in verse 12, but as many as took hold of Him, that received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in His name. Who are they? They are those who were born not of blood. It's not because of who they belong to, nor of the will of the flesh, that the flesh desired this, nor of the will of man. Man couldn't put this together. This has all been of. This is of God. This is of God. And those that receive Him are those who have light. Who are those that have light? Those who have life. And that life source came from God Himself. Why does He throw John in the midst of this? I mean, because we could skip right over John in verses 6 and 7 and 8 and just pick up right to where we've been going in this thought. Because I believe the reason why He uses John is, how does God get this light out into the world to let the world know, so that they can see light and life? Is you got God's witnesses. You see, you got the Creator's witnesses. You got a Creator, you got a creation, you got the creation's life, you got a creation's collapse, you got creation's Redeemer, and you got creation's witnesses. Those who have seen the light and who have the life of God working in them. John couldn't see who He was. He was not testifying to Jesus. He was testifying of Him who was still yet to come. He didn't know when He was coming. He just got a word. That's why we pick back up with John. And the writer John says about John the witness that he was told by the Father that he would recognize his Redeemer when He comes, because the Spirit will fall upon him. You go do what I told you to do, and you go preach and prepare to make way the straight paths of the Lord, and I will bring Him about in His time. And John went by faith, proclaiming the baptism of repentance, telling them that when He comes, He's not worthy of Him. He's, matter of fact, before Him. He existed before He ever existed. He's superior and greater than Him. He's not even worthy to unstrap His sandals, like the rest of us. And I think it was John's witness who also said, I must become less, that He might become what? Or greater. And you see, this is what this redeeming work of this, which John referred to Him. What was John called Him? Not the Word of God. John didn't call Him the Lord. John called Him the Lamb of God, who was to take away the sin of the world. John introduces us to the Lamb of God. Who is the Lamb of God? The Word of God that became flesh. Who's the Word of God? Our Creator. He's God. God came to this earth to be a sacrifice, to rescue this world from itself and from its sin, so that we can have light in His life, so that we can go forth as His witnesses and tell the world about this Lamb of God. Who is the Word of God? Who is God Himself? So when we come before the Word of God, we come before Jesus to celebrate and worship Him, you don't have to wonder if you're worshiping God. You don't have to wonder, am I doing the right thing? Am I serving the right one? John wants us to know there ain't no doubt you're serving the right one. You're serving God Himself when you submit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Christ Jesus. He is God's anointed Messiah. He is the message of the triune Godhead. He is God's Word to mankind, that without His life, there is no light. For it's in His light that we see light in this world. And what a difference He makes. Amen?
Amen.
So when we read that, that just tells us, it gives us another confident view of the fact that, hey, we're dealing with a supernatural work in the kingdom of God. And that there's no man ever will ever be able to save himself. Men are dead. Men are in blindness. They're in darkness. They can't grasp it and understand it until the light shines in upon their heart. And when that light enters in, it's life. And they see Him for who He is. And they take hold of Him. They receive Him. Justified children of God, who are now the witnesses of the Lord upon this earth, going to tell other witnesses
of what the Word of God has done for them. Amen? Amen. Help us, Lord. May we be wild as we walk through and amazed at the God Himself who's done this for us. Father, we thank You today. We praise You and give You the glory and just ask that You help us. We live in a world of darkness and deadness and blindness, and we're proclaiming a message to those that can't respond nor receive nor see, can't grasp what we have to give and share unless You, the source of life, speak Your light into them, that the darkness can't overcome it, and that they, like we, have welcomed and received that light You have revealed. Use us, O Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Man, I tell you what, we just can't help but go tell the world.
Amen.
What our God's done for us. Amen. Be a lot of people try to question you about Jesus. That's what the Scripture says. A man doesn't confess Jesus came in the flesh is what? Anti-Messiah Christ. He is God. Tell us about it.
I looked at chapter 6, Proverbs.
You read Proverbs 6 today, have you?
Yes, I did.
What did it say?
No more attitude.
No more attitude.
No.
You asking God to help you, huh?
Yes, I do.
Amen. You know, I think it's Philippians says, do all things without complaining or grumbling. Whoa! And that means not even in your thought process. Because, you know, if you think about if you think about complaining in your thought process, it's eventually going to come out your mouth.
I know.
Yeah, I'm telling you. And you know why He says not to do it? So that we may shine as lights in this world. That's why. When we complaining and murmuring and bickering and bad attitudes, we're not shining. We don't shine the light in this world.
Right.
We give somebody something to talk bad about us.
I am.
And when they talk bad about us, that discredits Jesus, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, amen. Amen. Good lesson, Carolyn.
Yes.
And the best thing to do when you do have a bad attitude, to just come clean and confess. Say, this is me. I'm sorry. Forgive me.
Yes.
Forgive me. All right. How many of y'all else get a bad attitude from time to time?
Come on.
Come on now. All right. Anybody else before we go? Sounds good. Father, thank You today. Thank You for the life You've given us. We just want to celebrate You and just continue as we journey through this revelation You've given us in the Gospel of John, that we would see God has come to change who we are, to make a difference in our lives, so that we can be those effective witnesses that bring glory to You. And I just give You glory and praise. Thank You for our church family. We pray You bless them, increase them, grow them supernaturally. And I pray everything they touch brings honor to Your name. We love You and thank You and praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.